with 69.69 a barrel. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
It's 77 degrees in Lawrence, 80 in Topeka, 82 in Manhattan. It is 6:06.
Your news.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. We broadcast at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also 91.3 FM in Junction City. Always online at kansaspublicradio.org or visit us via our app. We have one for iOS, one for Android. We do audio on demand. It even has like a little alarm clock thing in it. You want to wake up to Morning Edition? We can do that. It's worth your time. Check it out when you have a moment. Anywhere you get your apps.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Farmers Market, accepting credit, debit, or SNAP cards in exchange for tokens. Multiple double-up programs available to match SNAP dollars. Learn more at the Market Info Booth, Saturday mornings at 824 New Hampshire.
Coming up in our next half hour, an update of news headlines. We will find out about the state of Florida getting ready for the arrival of an unwelcome guest, Hurricane Helene. Moving through the Gulf of Mexico, forecasters say people in the Big Bend region, you know, that big curve where the peninsula meets northern Florida, they are saying it could be ugly, and we will get the latest from Debbie Elliott, who's down in Apalachicola. Also, we'll learn about the MVP. Why do you vote for an MVP in baseball? What exactly does valuable mean? It's all coming up on KPR. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from Woodhaven, Inc., manufacturing custom deck and siding solutions using sustainable woods and powered exclusively by wind energy. Located in Perry with shipping available to the entire KPR listing area. Details at woodhavenproducts.com.
Clear skies tonight, lows in the lower 50s, sunshine tomorrow, highs in the upper 70s, lows in the lower 50s tomorrow night, slight chance of rain on Friday and Friday night. But other than that, no rain in the forecast all the way through Tuesday of next week. It is 6:20.
I can get away without paying taxes, which doesn't seem fair.
Driving around Nevada, talking taxes and tips tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR station's Morning Edition with Michelle Martin, A. Martinez, and Tom Parkinson.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library and its Civic Engagement 101 series, discussing renewable energy in Douglas County in Kansas, September 26th in the Library Auditorium. Details at lplks.org.
News headlines coming up next. It is 80 degrees in Topeka, 79 in Atchison, 82 in Manhattan, and the time is 6:30.
People say air quality is safe, but have maintained the evacuation advisory for now. They believe the leak started when a stabilizing additive in the chemical lost effectiveness. For NPR News, I'm Nick Swartzel in Cincinnati.
This is NPR News in Washington.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. We have some new disturbing reports about the state of the Kansas foster care system. Police reports show two incidents at a Topeka foster office where children nearly died. One child took muscle relaxants and was overdosing. Another child found glass and cut their arms and neck. Those happened in May and June. KVC Kansas, the private agency hired by the state, couldn't comment on the individual cases, but lawmakers say they want to know more about incidents where kids in foster care are in danger. Here's Republican State Senator Molly Baumgartner.
All we ask is when something occurs that's out of the ordinary, include that in the report. Historically, this committee has learned what's really going on with our foster kids when we get a phone call from the reporter.
Baumgartner said she hadn't heard of any similar incidents. The number of tourists in Kansas and how much they spent grew past pre-pandemic numbers last year. That's according to a new report. Celia Hack has more.
The state had about 38 million visitors in 2023, up 4% from the prior year. That's also more than the number of visitors the state got in 2019, the year before the pandemic hit and tourism numbers crashed. Bridget Job is the director of Kansas Tourism. She said last year, major events like music festivals and concerts started returning to Kansas and Missouri.
I do know people who came to the Taylor Swift concert and stayed in hotels on the Kansas side. We know that the Taylor Swift effect is real, and holding those major events in the state or close by do affect us.
Visitor spending in Kansas reached $8 billion last year, almost 5% more than 2022. I'm Celia Hack in Wichita.
The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas, clear skies tonight with a low in the lower 50s and light winds out of the east. Tomorrow, sunny with a high in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low in the lower 50s. Mostly sunny for Friday, but we do have a chance of showers in the afternoon. We're expecting a high in the upper 70s. Another chance of rain on Friday night, lows in the upper 50s. For Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, no rain in the forecast at all. Highs in the upper 70s each day, lows in the mid-50s each evening. It's 6:35.
Support for NPR.
Studio sessions, concert recordings, interviews, and more. 105 Live starts 5 p.m. Saturday, October 5th on Kansas Public Radio.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, and lots of other frequencies scattered around the state. We're always online, streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
Thanks so much for joining us this evening. We will have an update of news headlines for you at 6:01. Actually, at 7:01. Sorry about that. It's been a day, let me tell you. Anyway, 7:01 is when the news will be. We're not doing time travel. Then it will be Stardate. Might be about time travel. You never know with Stardate. And then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny as your host, all followed by Jazz in the Night on your KPR1 stations on KPR2. We have the Moth Radio Hour, followed by news from the BBC World Service.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, presenting On the Ballot, a Kansas City Week in Review special with analysis of Missouri's upcoming ballot measures, airing on Channel 19.1 October 18th at 7:30 p.m.
It is 77 degrees in Lawrence, 80 in Emporia. It's 10 minutes before 7 o'clock.
NPR and this station are supported by the communities we serve. In return, our journalism is available to everyone free of charge. This is NPR.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming pianist Jonathan Mamora, striving to uplift and positively influence others using music as a means for service. Sunday, October 6th, 2 p.m. in the Pavilion. Tickets are at lead.ku.edu.
Up next, we have news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny. All followed by Jazz in the Night. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, offering downloadable ebooks, audiobooks, streaming movies, and more, all available with a library card. Card information at lplks.org.
Here at KPR, we have one job, to serve our listeners with news, culture, exceptional ideas. Your donation directly funds this service that you've come to rely on. Because you listen to KPR, we hope you'll consider becoming a member listener. You can do that right now at support.kpr.org kansaspublicradio.org. Help fund the programming that matters. And thank you very much. It's 76 degrees in Lawrence. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Congress has voted to approve a stopgap spending bill to fund government programs through December 20th, avoiding a shutdown. As NPR's Barbara Sprunt explains, government agencies were on track to run out of money at the end of this month.
House Speaker Mike Johnson relied on Democrats to get the bill through the chamber, using a process that required a two-thirds majority. 86 House Republicans opposed the bill, highlighting the rift within the GOP over how to deal with funding bills in divided government. It's the same issue the GOP has faced since it took control of the chamber in 2022. The bill also boosts funding for the U.S. Secret Service by $231 million, following two assassination attempts on former President Donald Trump. That increase comes from shifting existing accounts and not adding to the overall budget level. The vote punts a funding fight to just ahead of the Christmas holiday and, most notably, after the election. Barbara Sprunt, NPR News, the Capitol.
An influential Muslim advocacy group is endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris in her presidential bid. NPR's Jason DeRose reports the move comes despite the group's criticism of how the Biden administration has handled the Israel-Hamas war.
The endorsement from Mgage Action begins by saying the 2024 presidential election represents an especially difficult moment for Muslim Americans. It goes on to highlight the group's strong disagreement with the Biden administration over supplying arms to Israel. But the endorsement says the next administration needs to take the Muslim community's peace, justice, and safety seriously, and that the best candidate to do that is Kamala Harris. Mgage Action goes on to say the endorsement is not an agreement with Vice President Harris on all issues, but rather honest guidance to voters regarding the difficult choice they confront at the ballot box. Jason DeRose, NPR News.
Nearly 20 counties along Florida's Gulf Coast are ordering evacuations ahead of the approach of Hurricane Helene. NPR's Greg Allen reports Helene is expected to hit Florida's panhandle tomorrow as a major hurricane.
All but three of Florida's 67 counties are under a hurricane or tropical storm warning. Helene's a very large system, with tropical storm force winds extending nearly 300 miles from its center. Along with the high winds, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says a major concern is Helene's storm surge, which may be as high as 20 feet in some areas.
This thing's going to be whipping through. It's going to cause a lot of churn, and it is going to drive that water.
Emergency managers are worried about the impact of Helene's winds on Tallahassee and warning of possible extended power outages in the heavily wooded area. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
Facebook parent Meta is unveiling new updates to its virtual reality headsets and Ray-Ban smart glasses, along with other artificial intelligence advances as it looks at the next generation of computing platforms. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg also showed off a new system called Orion, basically a prototype for holographic glasses. On Wall Street today, the Dow was down 293 points. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Progressive. Progressive Commercial Insurance protects small businesses from retailers to tradespeople. Progressive covers a variety of business needs with a range of coverages. More at progressivecommercial.com. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate September 25th. You can tell whether a train or a police car is moving toward or away from you just by listening. Its horn or siren changes pitch, higher if it's moving toward you, lower if it's moving away. The same principle applies to the stars. Their light is shifted to longer or shorter wavelengths. Measuring that shift reveals the star's motion, its radial velocity. An example is Pollux, the brightest star of Gemini. It's close to the moon at first light tomorrow. Its radial velocity tells us that the star is moving toward us at more than 7,000 miles per hour. That sounds fast, but at the star's distance of almost 34 light years, it would take millions of years to reach us. Pollux's orbit is also carrying it sideways, so the star will never even get close. By measuring its radial velocity, astronomers at McDonald Observatory discovered a planet orbiting Pollux. As it orbits, the planet tugs at the star, changing its motion toward us by a few miles per hour. Precise measurements of that change revealed some details. The planet is a bit more than twice as massive as Jupiter, the giant of our own solar system. It's a little farther from Pollux than Mars is from the Sun, and it orbits the star once every 19 months. Astronomers name the planet Bestius, a version of Leda, the mother of Pollux, a planet discovered by measuring a tiny shift in the star's light. And we have more sky-watching tips and much more about the cosmos in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. I'm Billy Henry.
Strauss polka for us tonight on KPR to open this evening, but by Oster, maybe not the Strauss you were thinking. This was with the Budapest Strauss Symphony Orchestra and Alfred Walter. Hello there. I am your host, Destiny. So glad you are here listening to music with me. Happy midweek. I've got some funny music for us coming up. I can't wait. Oh my goodness. At 7:35, I have something so funny. Beautiful, but also funny. It's a suite in the old style, and it very much is in the old style, but there's kind of a joke in the middle of it that I think you'll really, really like. Speaking of old, let's travel to the Middle Ages. I thought we would hear a suite from the Middle Ages by a not-so-middle-aged composer, Glazunov. No, he's no longer alive, so okay, failed joke. However, he was a romantic composer, not from the Middle Ages, but he has this suite from a different time. I think it'll be very interesting. We hopefully will enjoy this together right now on KPR. It is with Svetlanov conducting the USSR Symphony Orchestra, Glazunov's Suite from the Middle Ages on Kansas Public Radio.
We'll be right back.
Svetlanov conducting the USSR Symphony Orchestra in Glazunov's Suite from the Middle Ages. What did you think? I'd be curious to know. We've got something coming up from a more modern composer about something old. And then at around 7:52, a Slavonic dance. A nice little, shall we say, encore to this hour. Before I tell you about, one of my most favorite things coming right up, we have to talk about one of my other favorite things, cars. I love cars, and I want many. I don't know why I like cars, I just do. If keeping your old car running is starting to feel like you're setting money on fire, don't do that. The KPR Vehicle Donation Program can help extinguish that flame. I didn't write that joke. That's a pretty good one, though. Donate your vehicle online at kansaspublicradio.org to help support us. It would be so fantastic. Yes, it would. And something else fantastic, this suite in the old style. I keep not mentioning the composer's name on purpose, because as soon as I do, you're going to think, oh my goodness, it's so contemporary. But the style doesn't sound like that at all. It's by Alfred Schnittke, and there is one chord, one shocking chord that's almost mocking atonality in the middle. Oh, it's actually a little bit more towards the end. You can't miss it. And when you hear it, I want you to think fondly of me. Okay. It's with Duo Gazzana right now on KPR, Schnittke's Suite in the Old Style. as a musician here on Kansas Public Radio hosting this show, I found that last movement with the chord to be the funniest thing I've ever heard. Schnitke's Suite in the Old Style with Duo Gazzana. Gosh, I love performing that. It's so funny. It's so beautiful the whole time. And then, bam, you get this wild chord. It's very funny. Speaking of wild, this week's Classics Live brings you local saxophonist extraordinaire Dr. Kyle Blake Jones. You know how much I love saxophone. Bringing beautiful and unknown chamber music to the Polsky Theater stage. Trio, Fantasy, Elegy, Dawn to Dusk, and Whimsical Sketches of Fanciful Birds are the names of the pieces. Wow, this just sounds amazing. When he's joined by piano, flute, and oboe, Classics Live is tomorrow evening at 7, right before my show Tango Thursday on KPR One stations. Support for classical music comes from the Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Info at greenladylounge.com and the Topeka Symphony, presenting I Got Rhythm, featuring Sound, Echo, and Silence, a new concerto for traditional Thai instruments and orchestra, Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Tickets at topekasymphony.org. So many great lineups. And in this lineup, I have for you a Slavonic dance to close out our hour before our next hour of really great music. This recording is with Joel Levy and the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, right now on KPR.
Thank you.
Yoel Levy conducting the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and Dvorak's Slavonic Dance No. 4. I'm Destiny. Thanks for being here with me this hour. I've got three marvelous things to listen to next hour. Something by Sibelius, something that reminds me of my life. It's like a zoo. And well, I'm opening with a very, very busy bee, because I think during the midweek, we are all busy little bees. You'll just have to guess what it is on KPR.
At NPR, it's our job to be skeptical.
So tell me, why is this not already happening?
And provide context to the day's headlines.
Where does this leave U.S. efforts to try to broker a ceasefire to end the war? Where does it stand?
This is independent reporting you can trust. This is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, where KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Creating a legacy in public radio is as easy as adding KPR to your will and becoming a member of the Dick Wright Legacy Society. A bequest can help ensure our on-air service will continue for years to come. For information, visit legacy.kansaspublicradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris laid out more specifics of her economic agenda today during an appearance in Pittsburgh, acknowledging that prices are just too high and promising if elected she'll take steps to help the middle class. Harris pointing to initiatives she says will cut taxes for 100 million Americans while also incentivizing home ownership and cutting the cost of child care, allowing families to get ahead.
History has shown it. Time and again, when we invest in those things that strengthen the middle class, manufacturing, housing, health care, education, small businesses, and our communities, we grow our economy and catalyze the entire country to succeed.
Speaking at the Economic Club of Pittsburgh, Harris said Republican Donald Trump's policy will raise prices for middle-class Americans. Trump, meanwhile, was campaigning in North Carolina today, where he repeated claims he's made about immigrants in both Springfield, Ohio, and Aurora, Colorado. Trump also said if elected, he'll deport millions of immigrants in the U.S. he says are in the country illegally, and who he says, without evidence, are responsible for a massive crime wave. Trump's remarks come even as border crossings this summer reached their lowest levels since 2020, according to Customs and Border Patrol agents. A U.S. Senate panel that's looking at Boeing says the plane maker's safety practices are not changing quickly enough. NPR's Joel Rose reports the subcommittee released more documents today as part of its probe.
Nearly one out of three Boeing workers said pressure to work quickly caused their team to lower its standards, according to an internal company survey from May. That document and others were released by the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, chaired by Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut.
Boeing continues to prioritize the speed of production and profits over safety and quality.
The head of the Federal Aviation Administration, Mike Whitaker, testified that culture change at Boeing will take time.
I think those employees that you surveyed, a lot of them aren't going to believe it until they've seen it for years.
The FAA has capped production of Boeing's popular 737 line until the company shows improvements in quality. Joel Rose, NPR News, Washington.
Families trying to escape the ongoing conflict in Lebanon are pouring into Syria as they try to flee Israel's punishing assault against Hezbollah. Many of those leaving the fighting waiting for hours on clogged roads as they try to reach the relative safety of another war-torn country. Lines of cars and buses have extended for miles from the Syrian border since Monday, amid concerns the conflict could widen into a full-scale war. Similar to Israel's conflict in Gaza, U.S. officials and others are working for a temporary ceasefire to cool the conflict. Stocks edged back off their record highs. The Dow fell 293 points today. You're listening to NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Cy Sims Foundation, since 1985, supporting advances in science, education, and the arts towards a fair, more just, and civil society. More info is available at cysimsfoundation.org. This is Kansas Public Radio. I'm gonna go. come on, that's the greatest thing you've ever heard on a classical music radio station. Here on KPR, Rimsky-Korsakov's Flight of the Bumblebee with Yo-Yo Ma on cello and Bobby McFerrin on voice and body. Oh my goodness, I was so excited when I found that recording. It's incredible. Oh, I love it. Hi, I'm your crazy host, Destiny, who loves classical music and thinks that it can be really fun. And you guys are the best listeners out there on the planet, so I hope you are enjoying this. Today is a special day in history, so we are going to listen to something that premiered a long time ago. But because I'm crazy, my life sort of seems like a carnival sometimes. And so in about half an hour, we're going to listen to a carnival of animals. Something very famous that I think you will recognize. On this day in 1907, Sibelius' Third Symphony premieres. It does indeed. And so I thought, hey, we haven't listened to his Symphony No. 3 in a while, and it's quite good. It's in the happy home key, we musicians like to call, of C major. So I think you'll enjoy it. It's with the Helsinki Radio Orchestra. It's about 29 minutes long, so let's sit back and enjoy it together right now on KPR.
Thank you. Thank you.
right, what did you think? Sibelius, Symphony No. 3, premiering on this day in 1907 with the Helsinki Radio Orchestra. Ah, nice. I thought there were some nice things in there. We'll have to see what you think. I'm curious to know. There's a way you can let me know. I love hearing from you. You can go to kansaspublicradio.org and fill out a contact form, and it'll make its way to me. Or you can go to my website and contact me. I actually reply. I'm a real human. My website is my name and my instrument, destinyviolin.com. Again, very creative. Oh, boy. Here on Kansas Public Radio, we really care about you, dear listeners. So I do actually want to know what you think. And, you know, every gift you give us matters. $5 a month here, $10 there, the occasional $100 a month. We rely on it so much, and that's how it works here at KPR. You make up our largest share of income. We rely on you, and that's why your sustaining gift now is so important. Become a sustainer today at kansaspublicradio.org. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 Junction City. And now for my life in 22 minutes, Sasson's Carnival of the Animals. However, this is a version with two pianos. Yes, it's the Nash Ensemble, and I think it is going to be quite delightful. I hope you enjoy it right now on KPR.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sasson's Carnival of the Animals by Two Pianos, the Nash Ensemble. Here on Kansas Public Radio, NPR News is up next.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep with NPR News. Any good news organization should bring you points of view that you agree with and points of view that you don't. Facts you approve and facts that make you uncomfortable. Our job is to bring you the full picture in context so you can decide. This is NPR.
This is Kansas Public Radio, and support for classical music comes from the Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Located at 1809 Grand Boulevard in Kansas City, information at greenladylounge.com. It's Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, where KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Ulsberg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Liberty Hall Video in downtown Lawrence, with more than 11,000 titles on DVD and Blu-ray available to rent, from classics to cult. Open daily, 1 to 9 p.m. A browsable inventory is online at libertyhall.net.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Hell is breaking loose in Lebanon. That's how the UN Secretary General describes the situation as he calls on Israel and the militant group Hezbollah to avoid an all-out war. More from NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
Antonio Guterres is urging Israel and Hezbollah to stop firing rockets across the so-called blue line and pull back from the brink.
An all-out war must be avoided at all costs. It would surely be an all-out catastrophe.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is expected to speak to the UN later this week. His ambassador says Israel wants a ceasefire so that Israelis can return to their homes in northern Israel, but he says Hezbollah has to pull back from the border and stop firing rockets into Israel. The U.S. says it's working on a plan to avert a broader war. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the United Nations.
Meanwhile, in a joint statement today, President Biden and French President Emmanuel Macron called for a 21-day ceasefire between Israel and Lebanon. Hurricane Helene is heading toward Florida's northwest coast. Jessica Mazaros with member station WUSF in Tampa reports strong winds are expected.
Forecasters say places that don't normally have to put up with hurricane force winds are likely going to experience them into Friday, from Tallahassee, Florida to Atlanta, Georgia. Brian McNulty is a hurricane researcher at the University of Miami.
So it'll be very impactful inland, I think, more so than maybe we're used to seeing.
McNulty says this could lead to a lot of tree debris, which could come with significant electricity loss. For NPR News, I'm Jessica Mazaros in Tampa.
Just days before a Kentucky sheriff allegedly gunned down a local judge, the sheriff was questioned in a lawsuit regarding sexual abuse inside the courthouse. As NPR's Frank Langford reports from Lexington, police have yet to provide a motive for last week's extraordinary killing.
The lawsuit claims that Letcher County Sheriff Mickey Steins knew or should have known that a former deputy was sexually abusing a female drug defendant. Stein has denied any knowledge of the crimes. Ned Pillersdorf, an attorney for the woman, said the atmosphere during questioning was tense.
He was agitated. He was generally defensive. But in fairness to Sheriff Steins, I mean, he defended his conduct.
3 days later, Steins allegedly shot Judge Kevin Mullins to death. Steins has pleaded not guilty. There's no indication that the cases are connected. But the shooting occurred in the judge's chambers, as did, allegedly, some of the abuse when the judge was not there. Frank Langford, NPR News, Lexington, Kentucky.
Federal judges signing off on a $600 million class action settlement involving last year's derailment of a Norfolk Southern freight train in East Palestine, Ohio. Multiple train cars full of hazardous materials ruptured and caught fire. As part of the settlement, anyone living within 2 miles of the derailment would be compensated. On Wall Street, stocks lost ground today. This is NPR. Fans of the Major League Baseball team, the Oakland A's, say they are heartbroken as the team is set to play its final game in the city tomorrow. Member station KQED in San Francisco, Azul Dostrom-Ekman has more.
This news has been a long time coming.
In April, A's owner John Fisher announced the team was moving to West Sacramento for at least the next three seasons, while a proposed new $1.5 billion stadium in Las Vegas is built to house the team permanently. Still, for longtime fans like David Feldman, who also works at the Oakland Coliseum as a broadcast technician, the final game is going to be emotional.
I think for most of the fans and the employees, we're all feeling it. And it's easy to put blame on the A's owners, and some people want to blame the city of Oakland. But at the end of the day, it just sucks for everybody.
The final game at the Oakland Coliseum is sold out. For NPR News, I'm Azul Dahlstrom-Ekman in San Francisco.
A federal judge is ordering the Environmental Protection Agency to further regulate fluoride in drinking water. That's amid claims high levels of fluoride could potentially pose a risk to the intellectual development of children. While the judge issuing the ruling said it's not certain higher fluoride levels are showing slowing intellectual development in kids, he cited research that points to a risk it could be. As a result, the judge ordered the EPA to take steps to lower the risk without saying specifically what those measures should be. Crude oil futures prices lost ground today, oil down more than 2.5% to end the session at $69.69 a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include FJC, a foundation of donor-advised funds, working to maximize the impact of charitable giving and to create customized philanthropic solutions. Learn more at fjc.org.
the Danny Giannacucci Big Band here on KPR, and a piece by the leader, trumpet player, composer, arranger Danny Giannacucci, called that one South Philly, opening up tonight's Jazz in the Night, with featured soloist being trumpeter Scott Wenhold and alto saxophonist Andrew Gould. We'll have more from this later this hour, as it is Wednesday night, the 9 o'clock hour, and time for our almost every week new release spotlight hours. I bring you two tracks each from four of the best new albums in jazz. Very big band centric this week, as up next we'll hear from New Orleans and Delphio Marsalis and the Uptown Jazz Orchestra. And a little bit later, Bill Warfield and the Hell's Kitchen Funk Orchestra. And we've got the duo, too, of Catherine Russell and Sean Mason in the new release spotlight this week. Right now, it's Delphio Marsalis and the Uptown Jazz Orchestra. The new album is called Crescent City Jewels.
Yo!
Yo!
Honey, they call me the monk, and I won't stop trying to like you ain't disturbing in your mind.
trombonist Delphi Omar Salas and the Uptown Jazz Orchestra from New Orleans, and special guest, an icon of New Orleans music, Kermit Ruffins. They're singing Ooh Poop Badoo, the album called Crescent City Jewels. More from that later this hour. Delphi Omar Salas and the Uptown Jazz Orchestra on Kansas Public Radio. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from Spider Art Constructors, offering decorative stamped and stained concrete patio work across the KPR listening area. More information about creating your backyard oasis is at Spider Art, Spider with a Y, SpiderArtConstructors.com. Well, after a couple of big band tracks, we're going to have a duo, the singer Catherine Russell and the pianist Sean Mason together from their album My Ideal here on KPR's Jazz in the Night, the new release Spotlight Hour.
Now, baby, when you sigh, I wanna sigh with you. And when you cry, I wanna cry some too. Now, ain't that love?